Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of Scouting 5, recapping scouting news from around the world for the week of September 18th, 2023. I'm Scouter Ken, and I'm once again recording from St. Albert, Alberta. First up, a little bit of news. If you weren't paying attention to the podcast's social media pages over the last few days, you'll have missed this, but if you were paying attention, then you'll have caught the announcement that the merchandise that we mentioned in the last full episode that I was discussing with Scouter Colin, the neckerchiefs and the crests or badges, are now available for pre-order. So if you go to the Scouting Stuff webpage, specifically scoutingstuffpodcast.com/store, or just go to the main page and look for Scouting Stuff stuff in the menu, you will find links to pre-order neckerchiefs and the crests or badges. Now, the way this works is the ordering is through a company called Scout Gear, a Canadian company, and unfortunately, their shipping options are at least currently geo-locked to Canada, which means that if you're outside Canada, you need a different way to obtain the crests and neckerchiefs. And the way that is, there is a fourth button on that page where you can basically go to a Google form and you can request a number of neckerchiefs and crests and provide me your mailing information. And so I'll do kind of like a bigger order and then I'll just invoice you for the cost of the neckerchief and the crest and shipping to wherever it is you want me to send those things to. So, if you are at all interested in grabbing some Scouting Stuff merch, some Scouting Stuff stuff to put on your campfire blanket or to have in your neckerchief collection, there will be a link in the show notes. Please do check it out. And focusing first on international news, scouts in Trinidad and Tobago have been helping out with waste management in their country, quoting scout.org. Members of the Scout Association of Trinidad and Tobago, including scouts ages 11 to 15, as well as younger Cub Scouts aged 7 to 10, along with their leaders, parents, and siblings, came together on Saturday, the 16th of September, to join the Institute of Marine Affairs in celebrating International Coastal Cleanup Day. The scouts participated at two locations, the Audrey Jeffers Highway, at the foreshore in Northwest, and the picturesque East Coast in Mario, Trinidad. Under the theme of Ride the Waves, Not the Waste, the annual event saw, this year, scouts gathered at the designated cleanup sites, armed with garbage bags and gloves, ready to tackle the coastal litter problem. The aim was to make a significant contribution to a safer marine environment and to raise awareness about the importance of responsible waste disposal. Throughout the course of the day, these young environmental stewards worked tirelessly, braving the hot sun and sandy shores, to collect several tons of garbage. The trash included plastic bottles, food wrappers, styrofoam containers, and other waste items that had accumulated along the coastline. The most unique items being a Barbie doll, a suitcase, and a side mirror from a car. In total, the scouts collected almost a ton of garbage along the coastlines of Trinidad and Tobago. And, well, what else can be said but well done, scouts. That is quite a significant cleanup effort. Of course, if you've been following the news, you've heard about some of the flooding that has occurred in places such as Libya. And as we've often covered on the podcast before, well, scouts have risen to the occasion to help deal with that particular crisis. Quoting scout.org, in the wake of Hurricane Daniel's destructive rampage through Libya in recent days, more than 1,500 dedicated Libyan scouts from the whole country have swiftly responded to the catastrophic event. This environmental disaster, described as the worst in 40 years, submerged numerous cities in the eastern region of Libya, with Derna bearing the brunt of the damage. While precise casualty figures are still unknown, early estimates suggest over 11,300 lives lost, with thousands missing. What's more, it is estimated that around 30,000 people are now displaced, raising concerns from the United Nations of a looming humanitarian crisis. Libyan scout leaders, fueled by their unwavering duty toward helping others, organized themselves to provide assistance. Coordination and relief communities sprang up in Benghazi and Tripoli, while emergency response centers were established in various locations. Approximately 500 scout leaders from the Derna Crisis Center and nearby commissions are actively engaged in fieldwork. These leaders play a crucial role in drainage operations, search and recovery efforts, and providing dignified burials. Additionally, 26 scout commissions, representing the different cities of Libya, remain in constant contact with central headquarters, gearing up for relief missions. Around 1,000 dedicated scout leaders are collecting in-kind donations as part of a national campaign initiated by the General Movement of Libyan Scouts and Guides. And it's always terrible to hear about tragedies like these, but I'm always struck at the way scouts in a lot of these countries just rally to the cause, to help out others in their communities. And not even in their own communities, but in other communities across their countries. it's something that we don't necessarily have to put up with as much in Canada, right? Like, we get places that get flooding and we get other natural disasters here, but usually the toll in lives is not nearly so high as you hear about in places like this. And in many ways, we're fortunate for that. But at the same time, you know, I can't recall, at least, you know, hearing about scouts organizing at the federal level or even a provincial level to provide this same sort of, you know, assistance in humanitarian response when crises do emerge. Maybe I'm just missing that in the news, but it's something that I don't hear about as much in a North American context versus in, you know, an overseas context. And speaking of humanitarian actions, there were also some devastating earthquakes in Morocco recently, and scouts there have likewise answered the call to help out their country, quoting scout.org. In the aftermath of the deadly earthquake that struck multiple regions in Morocco on 8th September, the Fédération Nationale du Scoutisme Marocain has taken quick and decisive action to aid in disaster response and relief operations. More than 2,100 people were killed when a magnitude 6.8 tremor shook an isolated mountain area south of Marrakech, causing widespread destruction and leaving many trapped beneath the debris. Scouts swiftly established a dedicated emergency team at the national level to coordinate and manage their interventions effectively. They called on volunteers to contribute to the relief efforts and also appealed to Moroccan and international organizations to assist in rescue operations. The National Scout Organization, through its affiliated scout associations, plans to mobilize 2,000 volunteers, including leaders, youth, and scouts, in the field and at the organizational level. Among these are 50 people trained in mental health, 50 in relief and first aid, 200 in educational and teaching support, and 50 in safe from harm. And again, just like that, scouts rising to the challenge and helping out their country deal with a significant crisis, a significant humanitarian crisis. It's been a while since I've done a equipment theft story, but unfortunately, a scout group in Moncton, New Brunswick, was recently affected by just that. Quoting Global News, on Sunday, Moncton, New Brunswick Scoutmaster Jeff Melvin received a call telling him that the storage unit housing the camping equipment for the 1st Moncton BPSA scouting troops had been broken into. More than $8,000 worth of camping equipment, including tents, canopies, bucksaws, and hammocks, was stolen from the trailer. While the scouts' activities are insured, they weren't able to insure the gear, meaning that they will need to fundraise thousands of dollars to replace it. Thieves broke into several units in the Riverside storage facility and apparently cut the latch above the lock on the trailer. The scout troop had a hammocking camping trip planned in early October, which will no longer be possible without the stolen hammocks. According to troop leadership, the kids in the troop look forward to hammock camping all year round and will unfortunately be disappointed. Like I say, it's been a while since we've covered one of these stories where a group has had their equipment stolen, and it's always unfortunate when you see things like this crop up. But it is important, I guess. It underscores the need to make sure that, you know, if possible, your group has good insurance, and if not, that your group has the ability, if possible, to, you know, reserve funds to replace equipment if it's lost. That's, I think, how our group does it. You know, we, over the years, have kind of just set aside an amount that could, if needed, be used to replenish lost equipment should we ever have to deal with a break-in like this. Well, let's close out with a little bit of happier news. Coming back to Canada, scouts in Rossland are celebrating their 70th anniversary, quoting Rossland News. The 2nd Rossland Scouts recently celebrated 70 years of fun and adventure for local youth and a much-needed renovation for their hall. The nearly $50,000 upgrade included inclusivity and energy retrofits and is just the beginning of a larger vision for improving its bare-bone headquarters. The project was made possible with Poles Contracting as principal contractor and a tremendous amount of support from the community, including funding from Columbia Basin Trust, Kootenay Savings Community Foundation, and the Loire Community Foundation, as well as the Rossland Legion, Branch No. 14. Home Hardware and GuestCan also chipped in by donating materials, keeping costs down for the 10-person parent-led volunteer group, which oversees nearly 30 local kids enrolled in Beavers, Cubs, and Scouts. Local scouting has a long history, with the 1st Rossland Scouts dating back to 1921, according to the group's records. The 2nd Rossland Scouts was founded on November 4th, 1952, by the St. George's Anglican Church. Although a few more groups started after, a lot of them, including the 1st, eventually folded into the 2nd Rossland. While the club has been going strong for some time, the Rossland Scout Hall has changed over the years. Originally on 1st Avenue, the hall moved to Essling Park in 1946, where it remained for over 50 years. However, in August 1997, the hall moved to its current location by Jubilee Park to make space for the construction of the Essling Park Lodge. And that is all the news I have for you this week. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, be prepared.